So as you have heard, the topic for this morning is on listening. And when Andrew asked if I would speak on listening for one of the topics, I quickly had something that came to my mind from the early 80s. And at the time, I was building a little log cabin in the Glen Allen area. And I had just completed, a few years before, graduate school, where I had my first master's in counseling, and one of the things that we were taught was listening skills. And we were taught how to pay attention to the person that you're listening to lean in, to make eye contact. And so this particular day, when I was in Glen Allen, it was a busy time for me. I said we were building a little log cabin. I was also teaching counseling and psychology classes at Alaska Bible College. And I had a counseling office at Faith Hospital, which is now Crossroad Medical Center. So I was busy. And I asked a friend if he would help me build my little log cabin. So I hired him, and he moved his family down for the summer, and we lived in tents as we built that little log cabin. And one particular day, I was coming home from the hospital from counseling, and as I was going towards the house, I was thinking about this project that I wanted to work on. And I kept rehearsing it over in my mind, what I wanted to be doing and how I wanted to do it. And I got to the cabin, and my friend met me at the door. And he had something on his mind that he wanted to talk about. So I listened. And I knew it was pretty important to him because it was heavy on his heart. And so I stopped and I listened to him. And he was telling me what was on his heart. And it kept going on and on. And pretty soon, my mind was on my project. I was distracted, but I was listening, and I was giving nonverbal nods of the head and little grunt or agreement once in a while. And pretty soon he stopped, and he said, "Are you listening?" I said, "Yeah, I'm listening." And I was very thankful for my training at that point, so I began to repeat back to him all that he'd been telling him. He was silent, and that silence was a little bit longer. And at the end of the silence, he said, "I didn't ask if you heard all the words. I asked if you were listening." We can easily be distracted when we're listening. Listening is actually hard work. Did you know that you can listen about 4 times faster than you can speak? So right now, I'm probably speaking to you about 100 words a minute, 125, somewhere in there. But you have the mental capacity to listen at over 400 words a minute. So what are you going to do with the spare time while you're listening? It's so easy to get distracted. Your phone vibrates, and you want to see who it is and what they're saying. Or you just had a difficult conversation with someone, and your mind is on that while you're listening to someone else speak. Or maybe you got this really neat adventure that you're planning, and you're thinking about that, and you can't wait until you can take the next step in preparation for it. It's easy to be thinking about other things when we're listening. Well, in light of that fact, a lot of communication experts have thought about techniques that we can learn to become better listeners. Things like leaning in and facing the person that's talking to you and having eye contact with them and not interrupting them, but giving nonverbal feedback and a smile and interjecting, letting them know that you're following them and clarifying if there's not something that you're sure that you're getting. There are techniques, there are skills that we can learn. And you've probably heard the term active listening. That's what active listening is. You're engaging yourself in the conversation, and you're carrying on a conversation, but your conversation is focused on what they're saying. So There are things that we can do and that we can learn to help us pay attention. So we're going to watch a video clip. And in this video clip, I want you to pay attention to three things. First of all, I want you to notice that the woman in the clip is not paying very good attention as she's listening. And then he calls her up on it, and she switches, and she engages, and she starts paying attention and getting involved, and she's actively involved. So I want you to notice that switch, and then I want you to think about this question. What are each of them trying to get from the other? So let's watch the clip.
First there was PlayStation, aka PS1. Then there's PS2, PS3, and now PS4. And that makes sense. You'd think after Xbox, there'd be Xbox 2. But no. Next came Xbox 360. And now, after 360, comes Xbox One. Why One? Maybe that's how many seconds of thought they put into naming it.
Can you get the butter, please?
Yeah. However, with the Xbox One, I can control my entire entertainment system using voice commands. Up until now, I've had to use Leonard.
Then get the other one. Pass the butter.
Hang on. I don't feel like you're taking this dilemma seriously.
Fine, Sheldon. You have my undivided attention.
Okay, now, the PS4 is more angular and sleek looking.
No way!
It's true. But the larger size of the Xbox One may keep it from overheating.
Well, you wouldn't want your gaming system to overheat.
No, see, well, you absolutely would not. And furthermore, the Xbox One now comes with a Kinect included.
Included?
Yes. Not sold separately. Although the PS4 uses cool new GDDR5 RAM, while the Xbox One is still using the conventional DDR3 memory.
Why would they still be using DDR3? Are they nuts?
See, that's what I thought. But then they go and throw in an ES RAM buffer.
Oh, wait a second. Who's they?
Xbox.
You're kidding!
No, I am not. This ES RAM buffer should totally bridge the 100 gigabit per second bandwidth gap between the two RAM types.
This is a nightmare. How will you ever make a decision?
See, I don't know. What should I do?
Please pass the butter!
She engaged. She was focused. She even employed some active listening techniques. But was she really listening? She had an agenda. What was her agenda? Pass the butter. What was his agenda? Absolutely. She wanted her to listen to him and help me make a decision. Neither one of them got their agenda met, did they? He did get the butter, finally. So we can listen and even employ techniques, but listening is more than that. When my friend said, I didn't ask you if you heard all the words. I asked if you were listening. I had an agenda. What was my agenda? Get working on my project. The woman in the clip had an agenda. Pass the butter. So what I want you to hear is listening techniques are good, and they can help us engage and pay attention. And we can learn that and become better listeners. But listening is more than that. Listening is also a heart issue. We can employ good techniques and still not listen very well. In fact, we can use good techniques to manipulate. So good listening is more than technique. It's a heart issue too. So it's about engaging your heart and paying attention. And I like this phrase of paying attention because attention means I'm focused. I'm focused on you and what you're saying. And the word paying implies that it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something to focus on you and pay attention to you. I have to set aside my desires and my agendas and make my focus you and care about you. So listening is actually a way of showing someone that you really care about them and you want to love them well. Ben Bost of Love and Transformation Institute says this, out of a deep concern for the well-being of another person, to love them is to know, want, and do what is in their best interest. Well, that's a pretty accurate definition of what biblical love is. To do that requires that we work harder to understand than to be understood. Listening leads to better understanding, and then we can care more deeply. So, to listen is to know, want, and do what is in their best interest. Are you listening? James 1:19 says we are to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Well, that's pretty profound. There's a whole lot of wisdom boiled down into those two little phrases. Quick to listen, slow to speak. So I'd like to emphasize that just a little bit more. So put your hand up by your ear. Quick to listen, now slow to speak, like you're slowing down traffic. Slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. So let's take a closer look at the verse that I'm referring to in James. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Well, first of all, I'd like you to notice how he starts. My dear brothers, take note of this. So if he's saying, take note of this, that ought to be pretty important for us, huh? And my dear brothers, he's talking about family. Family that's closer than blood and more enduring, more important. Family, take note of this. This is important. Another thing he says is everyone. Everyone take note. It's for all of us. Take note of this. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. But why did he have to go and add this third part? Slow to become angry. Isn't it enough to say be quick to listen, slow to speak? That's pretty profound. But he adds this third part, slow to anger. Well, that's where those agendas come in. Basically, an agenda is whenever I try to control something that's beyond my control. I'm trying to make something happen that's beyond my full control. Then I have an agenda. I had an agenda, my project. And my friend was a little bit of a block to that agenda because he had something that he wanted to talk about. James is telling us that we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But then he tells us why. Because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. It doesn't result in right relationship with others as God wants us to live. Your agenda can be as simple as wanting someone to listen to you, or to get someone to pass the butter, or to finish a project by a certain time. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with wanting someone to listen to you? Nothing. What's wrong with wanting someone to pass the butter? Nothing. What's wrong with wanting to get a project done by a certain time? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with those desires and even putting forth significant effort to accomplish them. The problem comes when I try to make them happen. Then they become an agenda. And I don't even notice that it's agenda most of the time, because most of the time it happens and life just goes on. You only notice it when it's blocked, when there's an obstacle that gets in the way. In the clip, he was the obstacle. He wasn't passing the butter. So we need to pay attention to our agendas. They're not easy to see, and they're not easy to admit. But we have agendas. Things that we try to control that are beyond our control. And we try to make them happen. And when our agenda gets blocked, there will be anger. You won't always notice it as anger. It may start out and you just notice a little bit of irritation. Or you get a little more tense, frustrated. But there's always anger underneath that. Not always recognized, but always there. And there's a self-righteous component to our anger. We feel angry because you didn't pass the butter, because you're not listening to me. And we can always look at a reason behind our anger. I feel angry because, and that leads us to our self-righteous part. So we feel justified in our anger. So just think of the tone of the voice in the woman who said, please pass the butter. Please pass the butter. She was angry. Whenever our agendas get blocked, there will be anger. So let me illustrate it another way. Just assume that you live in Palmer, Alaska, and you've got a very important appointment in Anchorage. It's one that is critical. You have to be there by that time. It's not one that can be rescheduled. It's very, very important. So you plan ahead and make all the arrangements. You get up in plenty of time, leave the house in plenty of time. You go out to the car and you start it. Someone left the gas gauge on empty. Well, a little irritation. So you know it's going to take a little bit more time, but you plan time. So you leave, you go to the gas station. And of all the times where there'd be a car in front of every pump, you just feel a little bit more tension coming up because you've got to get to that appointment. Finally, you get up there, fill the car with gas, and get out on the highway. And it's one of those days where traffic is just creeping. And you just creep along, and finally you see pilot cars, their lights flashing, and an extra oversized, big, bodacious load taking up practically all of the road. Cars just enough room to slide by on the shoulder, going very slowly. Now, what do you feel? You feel it start to come up a little bit more? This is critical that you make your appointment, and you start to feel it, and you finally get around there. Traffic picks up and you get into Anchorage, and of all the times for every red light to happen, every light you hit turns red. More irritation. Now it's pretty clear, I'm not going to make my appointment. And you turn off onto a side street to where your appointment is, and a road grader backs in front of you and blocks both lanes of traffic, and then gets out and walks over to the sidewalk and starts carrying on a conversation with someone on the sidewalk. What do you feel? You finally get there, it's too late. You missed your appointment. And it has some pretty huge consequences. Now you can see the irritation. There's anger. And you feel justified in it. You feel self-righteous in it. I feel angry because who is going to leave the gas tank on empty? You know how important that is. Fill it up. Don't leave it on empty. Anger. Because. And why did that extra wide load have to go at that time and take that much of the road? And that traffic engineer who designed those lights, how could he do that? For stupid. And how about that road grader operator? I feel angry because, and all of the reasons are outside of yourself. And so you feel justified in your anger. Self-righteous component of anger. It gets worse. There's also a malicious component. Look at verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You become willing to harm anyone who gets in the way of accomplishing your agenda. You're willing to harm them with your words, with your attitude, and worse yet, with your behavior. James 4:1 says it this way. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. There it is, blocked agenda. You want something, but don't get it. The emotional response is self-righteous anger. The behavior response can get malicious. Look at the next verse. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. What are the behaviors? You quarrel, fight, covet, and even commit murder in your heart, which could go all the way to actual murder. In other words, you are willing to harm in order to get your agenda met. One person put it this way: I want what I want when I want it, and if you will help me get it, good. But if not, I will run over you to get it. Slide back up to chapter 1, verse 20. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. It does not result in right living in relationship with others as God wants us to live. In the passage that we've been looking at here, all of this anger stuff is in the context of be quick to listen, slow to speak. But there's more. Next verses. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Do you ever have one of those nightmare dreams where you wake up in the morning, you stumble into the bathroom and you look in the mirror, and it's a mess. Your hair is all matted down. Your eyes are matted. You got garlic breath. And all of a sudden you realize, I've got a meeting I got to get to. And you run out the door, and thankful it's a dream, and you walk into your meeting and you're still in your pajamas and you haven't done anything about the mess that you saw in the mirror. Now that's a bad dream. That's the picture that James has given us when we hear the word but don't follow through in obedience. He says, don't be like that. Don't be that guy. He also gave us another little phrase that he stuck right in the middle of that. Do not merely listen to the word, and here's the phrase, and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. That's why it's like waking up from a bad dream. You probably all know what it's like to have been deceived by someone. You trusted in someone or something that you thought was reliable, and then you found out it wasn't. You were deceived. How's it feel? It's pretty bad, isn't it? But this isn't someone deceiving yourself, someone else. This is self-deception. This is you deceiving yourself. And when we hear God speaking, we need to listen and do what it says. Or it's like waking up from that bad dream. And if we enter into self-deception, that's scary. So what does God's word say about listening to others? I'm going to slide back up to 19 and 20. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. Well, how do we do that? So first of all, let's answer the question, what is the righteous life that God desires? When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, he answered like this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then he added this, the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So basically, Jesus summed it down to this: love God and love others. In Galatians 5:6, we read, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Well, Paul says that's the only thing that counts. That ought to be pretty important. That is of supreme importance. We're to love with a love that's committed to the very best of others. And in order to do that, we have to rely on God's love for us. He was committed to our very best. He sees all of our agendas. He sees all the garbage that's inside of us. And he sent his son to pay the penalty for it, so that we could be in right relationship with him. And now he asks us to love others, to be committed to their good. So when it comes to listening, loving God and loving others should be our focus. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 puts it this way. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also on the interest of others. But what about when things get a little crazy? It's easy to slip into saying things like, I don't understand how he could say that. I don't understand how he could do that. It makes no sense. Well, guess what? Everything that everyone does makes sense to them, even if it's crazy. It makes sense to them. And can you care enough to listen to them and seek to understand what's going on inside of them? Everyone has a story, and everything gets filtered through your frame of reference. It's filtered through your story. And sometimes people have crazy ideas and do crazy things. At those times, it's pretty easy to say things like, who does that? Well, why would anyone do that? Are those questions seeking to understand? No, of course not. Those are questions that are meant to be critical and demeaning. We're quick to talk about someone rather than listen to them for understanding. Proverbs 18:2 puts it this way. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. I'm going to say that one again. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. It's often in the context of understanding and caring deeply that we can see things that are amiss in our life. No one's ever encouraged to change through condemnation. A few weeks ago, I was traveling through Idaho, and I met up with an old friend from Alaska, and he was sharing with me a situation when he was working for an organization. In this one particular time, he was pretty agitated about something that was with the organization that he was working for. And he said he invited a mutual friend over to dinner, which was fairly common occurrence. It was a good friend. And this is how he described it. At some point during the meal, I went on a 5-minute verbal tirade about my issue. Bob listened quietly without saying a word. When I finally ended my verbal diarrhea, Bob quietly said 2 sentences to me about my position. Those 2 sentences made so much sense and were so insightful and so dismantled my position that I said, "You're right." And I smiled and forgot all about my issue. Then he said, he listened to understand. And when he understood, he said a truth that I was missing and released me from my bondage. He loved me well. Listening is hard work. We have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to the one who's speaking. And we have to give them grace for what may be wrong in their heart. Furthermore, we have to pay attention to what's going on in our heart. We have to be aware of the distractions and the agendas that get in the way of listening. When you listen and pay attention, it's going to cost you something. You have to set aside your desires, your agendas, and focus on caring about them. When you set aside your desire to be heard for the sake of listening to them, you actually begin to care about them. You begin to love them well. So how do we listen better? Remove distractions. Set aside anything that will distract you from paying attention. Then get your body involved, not just your ears. Eye contact, posture of facing, leaning into. When you're responding with more than just your words. You're responding with your body. And then interact with the one that you're listening to. Be active, not passive. Active listening is active participation. So don't just sit there like a bump on a log. That would be what we call passive listening. You can hear everything that's being said. You can even be tuned in and very focused. But if you just sit there without saying anything, they don't know if you're hearing them or not. So I recall a conversation that I had many years ago with a man, and he was very vulnerable, and he was describing to me a significant struggle that he was going through. And I was listening, and I was kind of overwhelmed because he was going through a lot. And at the end of him sharing, I just sat overwhelmed for a little bit and was thinking about it, but I didn't respond. And then he said, "I just poured my heart out to you, and your silence makes me feel like it doesn't matter to you." I hadn't responded to him. So if you don't know what to say, at least say, "I don't know what to say." Respond in some way. But if you engage your heart, you might be surprised at how easily the words float to your mind. Because if you're engaging your heart, you often will have words to speak. And then to share them, to let them know that you're interested, that you care. So you don't have to have the perfect words to say. Start by engaging your heart. And then listen to try to understand and feel what it might be like for them. Engage your mind, engage your body, and engage your heart. You seek to put yourself in their shoes and to understand what it must be like for them. And then give them some feedback that communicates that understanding to them. So listening conveys to the person that you're important to them. So as I was preparing this talk, I was reflecting a little bit more about myself and thinking, I'm not as good of a listener as I'd like to think I am. And there's lots of times I've had people tell me, "Hey, you're a really good listener." But I'm not as good a listener as I'd like to think I am. It's too easy to be distracted, and there's too much selfishness inside of us with our agendas. So it's something that we need to put forth some effort. In light of that, I made a decision that I had never done before. I decided I'm going to choose a word for me for this year. And that word is listen. That's going to be my word for this year. I want to be a better listener because I want to be a better lover of people. And more than that, I want to be obedient to the God of the universe who has spoken to me. And he says to listen to him and to obey him. And then to listen to others. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Therefore, listen to God. Do you know he's the only 100% sane being in the universe? And then be obedient to God and listen to others. You don't really know what's going on inside of someone else unless you listen. Listen for understanding. It's then that you can speak words of wisdom and words of comfort to a troubled heart. It's then that you can love them well. So I don't know where you're at, but I do know listening is important. And we never arrive at a place where we could say, we're a really good listener. Too many distractions, and we're too selfish. We have agendas, and we need to pay attention to those. Pay attention to what's going on in our own heart. So I'm going to end with another clip.
My rocket! Wait, Rally and I were still using that rocket. It still has some song power left. Who's your friend who likes to play? No! No, 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 you can't take my rocket to the dock. Rally and I go to the moon. Rally can't be done with me.
Okay, we can fix this. We just need to get back to headquarters. Which way to the train station?
I had a whole trip planned for us.
Hey, who's ticklish, huh? Here comes the tickle monster.
Hey, Bing Bong, look at this. Oh, here's a fun game. You point to the train station and we all go there. Won't that be fun? Come on, let's go to the train station.
I'm sorry they took your rocket. They took something that you loved. It's gone. Forever.
Sadness. Don't make him feel worse.
Sorry.
It's all I had left of Riley.
I bet you and Riley had great adventures.
Oh, they were wonderful. Once we flew back in time, we had breakfast twice that day.
Sadness!
It sounds amazing. I bet Riley liked it.
Oh, she did. We were best friends. I'm okay now. Come on. The train station is this way.
She said, "How did you do that?" And Sadness replied, "I don't know. He was sad, so I listened."